So in terms of our Dhamma practice, when we come to meditate and train the mind, we meet with different obstacles or hindrances. For instance, the mind feels sleepy, feels drowsy, the mind doesn't feel clear. And this can happen often when we come to meditate, to the point where we get accustomed to this state of sleepiness, of drowsiness. We sit in meditation, we feel sleepy, feel drowsy. 1 hour can go by, 2 hours can go by. We don't get value or benefit from that time. The time simply goes by. We're sitting, we feel sleepy. So this is a hindrance that prevents merit and goodness from arising. We might have doubts about the way of practice. We might have an agitated mind, a busy, distracted mind. I have ill will, desire. And so stream enters, sotapannas, they still have things like anger. Anger can still arise, but a kalyanachana, or a beautiful being, they can still proliferate in terms of ill will, based on ill will. So we have to be careful about that. So all these things, all materiality and mentality, all these coarse phenomena, any rupa or nama, any materiality, mentality, it's all empty. It's all not self. There's no self there in truth. We see that emptiness is Buddha, and Buddha is in all things. So we contemplate this, contemplate emptiness, contemplate that materiality is empty, and emptiness is materiality. That there is no rupa, no form, and it's empty. But usually we see material form, we see it as self, this body, feeling tone, perceptions, formation, sense consciousness, pleasure, pain, happiness, suffering. We take it all as mine, as me. A neutral feeling, all the different experiences. In truth, they're not self, they're not me, not mine. So whether it's proliferating these mental formations of a meritorious nature, of a demeritorious nature, memories, perceptions, being able to remember, not being able to remember, we take it all to be self, but in truth, it's not self. In truth, it doesn't belong to one. Or vijnana, sense consciousness, this feeling that I am seeing, I am hearing, I am tasting, I am touching. In truth, this is just nature. That seeing is just seeing, hearing is just hearing, tasting is just tasting, touching is just touching, and so forth. There's no self there to be found. So we contemplate like this. We contemplate in order to make the mind peaceful in samadhi. Contemplate to bring about peace. So this is something that we're able to do. So some places teach about this reflection on rupa and nama, or material form, immaterial phenomena, like the eye seeing a form, then there's the experience or the feeling of seeing. Then one can contemplate about rupa and nama to give rise to wisdom. And in the end, it's all to bring the mind to peace and samadhi. And once the mind is peaceful in samadhi, then one can know clearly, to give rise to clear knowing, that it really is not self, it really is not me, not mine, not you or yours, to bring the mind to emptiness. So the mind has this goal. So we contemplate to be able to reach emptiness. So therefore we cultivate goodness, wholesome actions, cultivate merit. And the merit that is the highest, the best, is the merit from mental cultivation. So we take this practice of bhavana, of mental cultivation, as our primary point. So we cultivate the mind, we have virtue as our foundation that we keep consistently. We have this quality of giving, sacrificing as a basic quality that's well established. And so we know this, we know it, and we're able to reduce the defilements or destroy the defilements. And that's done, and we need meditation to be able to do that. If we just have generosity, this reduces the defilements to one degree. And just having virtue reduces defilements to one degree. But then the mind doesn't stop. The mind still experiences happiness and suffering. This proliferation in the mind of meritorious type, demeritorious type, still occur in the mind. So we need to be able to bring the mind to peace and samadhi. And when we're able to bring the mind to samadhi, we see the value of it. We see the mind that's chaotic and agitated, and we bring that to train the mind. So we have this firm intent to train the mind to be peaceful in samadhi, like using a meditation word, meditation mantra, meditating with the in and out breathing. So we train, we have effort and perseverance with this. We have sincerity, we firmly apply ourselves to it. We sit in meditation a lot, we cultivate a lot, build these qualities a lot. And then we sit in meditation, when the mind becomes peaceful, we feel this great fullness, this great contentedness, this great happiness and joy in the mind. And sometimes we may sit for 1 hour and the mind's peaceful for 5 minutes of that hour. So this means we're starting to get the fruit and benefit of the practice. So we train like this. We train without ceasing, we train without stopping. Then one day, it's easier to bring the mind to peace and samadhi. The fruits of the practice arise more easily according to the level that we're at. In this way, we're able to give rise to understanding. So some individuals looking at the in and out breathing, just being with Bhutto, the mind is not willing to stay with that. The mind is busy and distracted. So for such an individual, it's appropriate to use the method of contemplation, to contemplate this body as a heap of the four natural elements, as a heap of that which is not beautiful. So this is using thought to bring the mind to peace, using thought and contemplation to give rise to samadhi. So one thinks and contemplates, then samadhi arises. The mind isn't busy or distracted. The mind gathers together. There's this feeling of fullness. And so we do this often to the point where we're proficient in it. Then all the thoughts reduce. And once the thoughts have reduced, then it's easier to know the breath. So we sit there with the breath, we have mindfulness with the breath. And as the breath gets more and more subtle, the mind naturally loses interest in the breath. And so we simply put down the object of the breath. We don't have the intention to put it down, but it just gets put down naturally. The body and mind feel light and at ease. And at this point, we may start to feel quite excited. Oh, what's happening? The feet and hands disappear. Different types of rapture arise, kind of different waves of rapture. So we can study the texts and read about these five types of rapture. For instance, the hairs stand on end. There's waves of rapture through the body. The body might feel very big or very small. There's rapture throughout the body. There's great fullness of heart. The body can seem very large. And then we exit from that state of peace and samadhi, and the samadhi reduces, and this is normal for this to happen. Then we come to meet with different sense objects, and the mind becomes chaotic and agitated once again. Greed, aversion, and delusion arise again. But don't worry about this. Just keep training, keep practicing. And we see that the mind is important. The mind can think thoughts of fear, proliferate in terms of fear. So this is proliferation without wisdom, proliferating to give rise to fear. Like for myself, I went to the cremation grounds as a young monk, and the mind proliferated a great deal about ghosts and spirits there in the cremation ground. I was thinking, well, it's just full of ghosts. There's nothing but ghosts there. So the mind would proliferate a lot like this. The mind thinking about all these spirits and ghosts. And the spirits and ghosts that were actually there, they might have actually felt sympathy towards me seeing that I was thinking like that. Or maybe they were just laughing, thinking, well, why is this monk proliferating so much in this way? Because no one was bothering me. No, these spirits weren't troubling me or bothering me. But the proliferation just wouldn't end. There was a lot of proliferation like this. And so we see that which is deceiving the mind as these thoughts. The thoughts are that which deceive the mind. And when there's no proliferation, then there's no fear. And in this instance, I saw whenever I stopped reciting Bhutto, then the fear would arise. So I couldn't stop reciting Bhutto. So I reflected, well, if I die, I die. Just recite Bhutto, Bhutto. So this is fighting with the kilesas, fighting with the defilements, because there was a great deal of fear. So I went to enter my mosquito net, my umbrella mosquito net tent. And the mind gathered in samadhi. The body and mind felt very light and at ease. And then when I exited my umbrella tent, everything appeared as very bright and radiant. All the bones around me, all the corpses, maybe over 100 corpses, just full of human corpses. There was no fear. Just seeing all the lives of people is just like this. The bodies get cremated, and there's just bones, natural elements left over like this. You see that everyone's the same in that way. And the mind didn't feel any fear anymore. So wisdom arose. So firstly, we train. We have effort and perseverance. We have patient endurance. And we cultivate our parami, build up our spiritual virtues. And cultivate our parami of generosity, the parami of virtue, the parami of meditation, train and practice. So this is the path of sila, samadhi, panya, virtue, collectedness, and wisdom. So we meditate to give rise to wisdom, we train and practice. In this way, we're able to reach the heart of the Buddha sasana, the heart of the Buddha's dispensation. In the beginning, we have generosity. And one who is practicing the path of the Buddha sasana takes on virtue. So having virtue, that's like the bark of a tree. And we go deeper than that, we reach the softwood of the tree, and that's samadhi, this peace and collectedness. Then we come to the heartwood, which is wisdom, generosity, or dana, that's likened to the leaves, the green leaves of the tree. If the tree doesn't have green leaves, then it doesn't look pleasant, it's not fresh. So when we have generosity, it's fresh, we feel refreshing. Just like in the season when the leaves come out, it's pleasant to see, it's refreshing. So we walk this path of Sila, Samadhi, Panya to reach this essence, this heartwood of wisdom, to see everything as empty, to see the Dhamma. So may you all set your hearts on this. May you practice without ceasing. Don't give up. Practice unceasingly. Then you will be able to see the Dhamma. So may you all set your hearts on this.